receive the blessing's effect. Our holy God and Father, Lord, we believe with all of our hearts that you have thought of us before you made us and woven us into our mother's wombs. You wanted us to be just who we are today, and yet you brought us to this planet Earth with a very glorious plan and purpose. For many years in our lives, we did not know about it until your Holy Spirit, through the prayer of faith of family and loved ones and churches, you finally got our attention to help us experience the power of your love and saving grace. Thank you for delivering us throughout the years and today and tomorrow from all of our known and unknown sins. And thank you for bearing the suffering for our every sin, that through your own life on earth, through your own promises of life on earth and life eternal, through your own suffering, death, and resurrection, we can receive the daily forgiveness of sin, the redemption of our souls, and the blessings of life on earth and the gift of life eternal. I pray, dear God, that you reach down deep to our heart and mind and soul, to our families and loved ones far and near. Because you are in the universe, and your power is manifested everywhere in creation, may you touch our loved ones, your church, and the people of all nations, especially those who are going through some extra distresses of life, those who have physical affliction and infirmities, those who are taking medicine and those who are not taking medicine, those who don't have access to any medicine, those who are hungry and those who are naked and destitute and homeless, and those who are suffering because of a habit. We pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit come upon them to heal them from the inside out and to provide their every needs. We pray that you change the heart and mind and make them children of the kingdom and deliver them from all harm and all evil. And as you have blessed us with great many blessings, we pray daily that you give us that highest purpose to use our lives and every gift and blessing for the life and the salvation and the healing and the transformation of one another, our families, your church, and all of our neighbors and those in the world. Grant us your love and your wisdom in all decisions. And I pray, as we have heard your voice this morning speaking to us in word, in prayer, in song, and through your living word, the Bible, may this hour also unveil your blessed will for our lives and give us hope and victory today and all the days of our life, and unto life eternal, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have began this series on Jesus, our Savior from suffering, is born. And we already spent time on the birth of Jesus and why Jesus came. He came because there would have been, as Andrew tried to say this morning, there would have been no hope. Actually, we may not have been born if Jesus did not come, because the earth reached an epoch of wickedness that is able to destroy itself. You know, today in the world we have nuclear weapons and missiles. And we've seen what one mistake in Japan did. And we've seen mistakes in Chernobyl in Russia and what it did. Up till now, we did not hear about a nuclear bomb going off.
But we have seen what an atomic bomb have done in Nagasaki, Hiroshima, Japan. A mistake can nullify whole nations, and two or three of those mistakes can very much bring an end to the planet. Those are facts. Those are facts. And now with the tensions of nation, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, those are the signs of the time. They're going to be distress of nations. And look at now, Iran, the United States, Egypt, everyone there in major conflicts. And people are turning on their own government and onto one another. And everyone is just beginning to put their guns up. If Jesus did not come, there would have been no hope, because what is really holding those winds of strife are the prayers of the saints unto the Lord. Jesus came to save us from this condition of sin and the curse of sin that can lead to death, not just immediately on this earth, but death without hope of resurrection or eternal life. The birth of Jesus came, God, very much in the form of man, and we learned last week that he was born of what? Of the Holy Spirit. And he was tempted in all things as we are, the Bible said, yet without sin. Therefore, he understands our nature. He is not just God. He understands our nature and our struggle, and because he was victorious over every sin and every temptation, he has done that on our behalf. Also, we have suffered great humiliation for every sin and from every sinner that led him all the way to Calvary to hang on the cross and to die once and for all to pay the ransom for all of those who desire to be saved and redeemed on earth. And he died and was resurrected. Therefore, the Bible said, you got to understand that the wages of your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And then we have studied last week the process that Jesus said that we ought to go through in order to experience a life of transformation, an abundant life of blessings even on this sinful earth, and then to receive the gift of life eternal. And we read that in John chapter 3, when Jesus told Nicodemus, listen to me, I came here that you may have life. Not just life, that you may also have eternal life. But Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can a man have this life on earth? And how can a man be resurrected again and have eternal life? Jesus said, unless a man is born again of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Because he that is flesh is flesh, Jesus said. But that he that is born of the spirit is spirit. What spirit is inside you right now? That is what we pray for. Do you know why, Peter? It is the Holy Spirit that brought us all here today. And Jesus said, no one comes unto me unless the Father have sent him unto me. And all that comes unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. It is a very good sign that all of us are here today. Because the Holy Spirit dwell in us, we are very favored and we are very blessed to receive the blessings of God. But be very careful. The other wicked spirit can also have place in our heart, even though we're sitting here.
Wouldn't Jesus kick him out when he brought him in and the Holy Spirit?
If we ask him to. If we ask him to. You know, many a times when I was going to church, the pastor was preaching, and I was wallowing in many issues in my heart that has nothing to do with the presence of God. The enemy managed to work on my weakness and to get me to think and to debate in my mind. And I've done that many a times when I was young. And I think B said that this morning. She said, I will not allow anybody to steal my joy. It's a decision. I will not allow the enemy to steal my blessing. And that is where the birth of the Spirit. We war every day, between the two spirits. But we are very blessed to be here today. It tells us that the Holy Spirit is in us. And there is a moment in time when the Holy Spirit departs from people. And that's what Jesus said. You know when? Jesus said that anyone who commit a sin against me, it shall be forgiven him. But he that blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him. What does that really mean? If we decide, I want to do nothing with Jesus. Whoa. You know, God has given us that power of choice. Wow. He's going to be very saddened for us, but he gave us the power of choice. He's not a God that if you don't choose my love, I'm going to torture you. That is not the God I serve. That's not true. If you listen to every words of Christ, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he is with me. That's my Savior. It is the enemy that tried to force his way into us. Okay? It's the other spirit. If we listen to him and come in, then we want to be doing nothing with Jesus. We don't want to be in the presence of Christ, and not just that. Here is the worst part of it. When you are all alone, when you are at home, when you are at work, every time the Spirit of God come and tell you, this is wrong, don't do it. He said, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. That's what happens. So you grieve the Holy Spirit. You don't want to listen to anything that is good for you and others. And that's why when Charles Manson was asked, he have killed so many people. And they asked him in prison, you think if the judge decided to let you go free, you will be a different person?
No, you won't.
He said, no.
He said, he will do it again.
I will do it again. That is the grievance of the Holy Spirit. It is when Satan takes complete control of you.
Wow.
When righteousness absolutely have no longer a place in your life. And destroying people is what you believe to be the right thing. It takes a lot to grieve the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
That's why I'm very thankful we're here. But you know, it's a process also that can get us there. And we don't want to get there. Jesus said, daily, we can be born of the water and of the Spirit. And I explained that last week, that the birth of water, we use water for what? First, to quench our thirst. We use water to cook with good meals. And we use water to cleanse our body and clean our clothing. And water in the Bible represents the quenching of our thirst. That is, when we desire to feel deeply loved, we can go to the Lord in prayer. And when we feel guilty and ashamed and worried and concerned about our sins, it puts stains and clouds of darkness upon our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, and it reflects in the life of others, and it requires cleansing. And that's why Jesus came. When we pray every day and ask the Lord to cleanse our heart and forgive us our sins and trespass and save us from our sins and from our limited selves, save us from the world of destruction and from Satan, we receive cleansing. That is the birth of water. It's not just the baptism of water. Baptism is just a beginning of a brand new life with Jesus. But the cleansing of the water by the Holy Spirit is required every day and throughout the day. And then the birth of the Spirit is to call upon the Holy Spirit to take over our lives and to continue to guide us in all decisions of life, spiritually and mentally and physically, socially, emotionally, academically, financially, legally, in every aspect of our life, we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. When He leads us, this is what happens. I'm a human being, regardless of how many books I read, and how many degrees I have, and how many licenses I hold, I still have limited knowledge. And I am still a human being who have needs and struggles. So when I make a good decision, the Holy Spirit will let me know that that was a good decision. And I will bear the fruits thereof. If I make a decision that it is not a good decision, before I make it, the Holy Spirit will say, don't do that. And if my limited self overwhelms me and I make a bad decision, I will feel the moving of the Holy Spirit. Come unto me and I will give you rest, said Jesus. I will forgive your sins and heal your land. Just come unto me. I understand your nature. I understand your need. Because God looks really beyond our faults and see our inner need. So that's how the Holy Spirit will work with me every day of my life. And then here is what you will recognize. You're going to continue to grow. Some of the poor decisions you used to make, you are no longer making them. But as you enter from one phase of growth into another on this earth, and as you enter into new relationships with others, you are entering into a brand new experience that will continue to expose still your strengths and weaknesses. And as long as the Holy Spirit is invited into your heart and mind and soul, you will continue to grow from the inside out. And you will continue to fight the good fight of faith. And you will lay hold on eternal life. And you will still prosper. And all of the promises of Jesus will be yours every day, even though you are still a struggling sinner. But the Apostle Paul said, you got to run the race until the end. And that is what we are going to be talking about. Now, when we are born of water and of the Spirit, what should we expect to happen? How can I really tell if I am truly born of the water and of the Spirit? Isn't that the question? Now that we have the knowledge, how can you tell if you and I are really born of the water and of the Spirit? Because Jesus said, if you are not, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. More than that, if you are not born of the water of the Spirit, you will find your blessings departing. You will find the things that you once possessed and you thought under your control leaving you. But if we are born of the water of the Spirit, if God takes something away, He always gives you something better. Isn't that amazing? Those are the blessings of being born in Christ. Next slide, please. Let us go and examine this. What are the signs of a new spiritual birth? And the first sign, which should be, that you should know with certainty that your sin is forgiven, and then you should begin to experience a slow, brand new life. So let us see a story in the Bible and then go and examine the facts. Let's open our Bible to Mark chapter 2. This story has much more into it than the facts presented. So let us examine the story and see the signs of the new birth through faith and trust in Jesus as our sin bearer and savior from sin, and as the author of our life and the physician and healer who never lost one case. So let us invite the Holy Spirit again as we read and as we understand to give us the right understanding. In verse 1. And again Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. So here Jesus comes, and all the neighbors and all the friends went and told their relatives and their other friends, and everyone heard that Jesus is coming to a certain home. to preach the gospel of hope and salvation. And straight away many were gathered together. The place was packed, in so much that there was no room to receive, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Every space inside the house was taken. All the way to the door that you cannot enter in anymore. And you know, I've been to places in Egypt where I was so blessed to serve with another Christian brother. In places where the place was packed, the pews were taken, before the pews, behind the pews, the floors, the alleys, all the alleys were taken, and the windows, people are standing, sitting on the windows, and people are standing behind them, just to hear the word of God. Isn't that amazing? That was amazing. So I can't imagine how this really sight must have been for other people who were surrounding the house and really wanted to come in. There was something in the presence of Christ. Everyone believed that if he came to see Jesus, some came to be healed. Some came to receive some hope. Some came to hear some answers to their own ailing problems. And this is what happened. It is crowded. Verse 3, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. Here is a person who was paralyzed, who was carried by four people. They brought him to Jesus. But now the place is what?
Packed.
But they have that faith in their heart. The sick man, the paralyzed man, had that faith in his heart. The people carrying him had that faith in their heart. If they brought him to Jesus, Jesus is able to heal him. Yeah. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you have a faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. All of our problems on this earth, to resolve all of our conflict, it's because of faith. We have faith in ourselves that fails us all the time. And when that fails, we try to find someone else. Faith in others. Maybe he, she, someone else can really help me in that conflict. And we try that, it creates more conflicts. And then we try to find faith in things to resolve our internal conflicts, and that does not last either. So we create all of these mountains of trouble, but when we began to place our faith in our God and Maker, he began to level those mountains. And this is what this four people and the paralyzed man believed. And verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they laid down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. I don't know how I would have felt if I owned that home. If I'm the one who invited Jesus in my home, and here is a group of four people climbing on top of the roof, disassembling my roof in front of me to lower the man right before Jesus so Jesus can touch and heal him.
I never thought of that part.
And if I was a teacher of the gospel like I am today, I don't know how I would feel if someone walked in to disrupt the service. Jesus, the master teacher and preacher, was there, and here it is. Big ruckus on top of the roof, and people breaking things up, and now they are lowering a man right before him. And if I was one of the crowds, how would I have felt about these people? You know, the good news is, these four people and the paralyzed man did not care what people think of them. They had that faith that was empowering them and giving them all the strength necessary, believing that Jesus has the answer for anything and everything. And he does. So they came and lowered the man right in front of Jesus. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith. Did you hear that? When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. What is the first sign of a spiritual birth?
Sins being forgiven.
Why is that? What is the cause of all sicknesses on this earth?
Sin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our sins and the sins of others and the sins of our ancestors have caused all of the problems that we have on earth today. But Jesus, as Savior, was born. So the first thing that ought to be removed is what caused the sickness. Isn't that something? What caused the sickness is sin. You know, many of us have been suffering from cold, right? And we've been experiencing different kind of symptoms. Mm-hmm. Runny nose,
coughing.
Congestion, coughing, asthma. If we decided to go to the store just to deal with the symptom of asthma or congestion, would that heal us? That's very much masking the symptoms, right? We have to do something else with our body to boost the immune system, that it may kick the virus once and for all. And the first thing that Jesus did, he had to remove the curse, which is sin. And he told the man, your sins are forgiven thee. Now, I'm going to be spending some time with this because it is quite serious. How do we know if our sins are forgiven? And how can we tell when it is not? I'm going to give you a hint. You know, when Jesus told the disciples the Lord's Prayer, he said, say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus said, if you don't forgive others their debts, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your own debts. So here is a sign. If I knew the severe consequences of my sin and how really Jesus saved me from, after I ask for forgiveness, I will find it much easier to forgive others. But here it is. If I have a difficult time forgiving others, this means I was never forgiven. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what I said? If I have an elephant memory and try to bring everyone's past and everyone's troubles and try to talk about their own problems, this means I was not forgiven and I am struggling with sin still. And I am very encumbered with great guilt and shame and need to be unshackled. And I don't like to see other people sin against me or before me. So therefore, I will transfer everything I have inside on them. That's a sign that you were never born again. And you need to be born again on that day. You need to deal with your own sins. You need to confess your own sins. You need to deal with your own troubles. How you feel is your decision. How you feel about yourself and others is really your decisions. And Jesus said, out of the heart, your own heart, are your issues. See when you say this guy have an issue? Yeah. The issue comes from within. But when we are dealing with other people's sins and mishaps, we ought to be approaching it in the same manner Jesus approach ours. If you are not, you've got the problem. Did you hear that?
Yes.
If you are wallowing day and night about how everyone else is wronging you, you did not deal with your own issues. You did not go to Jesus to really open you up and allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of your own rights and of your own wrongs, and to lead you to the cross of Calvary, to receive the forgiveness of sin, the healing of your heart and mind, then when you are healed from the inside out, you are able to help others. You know, in counseling, when I provide counseling to people, sometimes people discuss issues I don't have the answer for. And sometimes they discuss issues I did not overcome yet. You know, right in counseling there, I said, you know, you mentioned these three or four issues. Maybe I can help you with two of them and maybe the third. This one there, I just wanted you to know that I am still struggling with it and I did not completely overcome, but I can send you to get help from someone else who have gone through it before us and overcame. That's the sign that the Holy Spirit is in you. Because in counseling, they tell us, do not counsel somebody else over issues you are still struggling with, because you're going to be shooting everything you feel on them. So a healthy sign of the new birth is to know yourself through the eyes of Jesus and to see everybody else through the same eyes of Jesus. If we want to heal from all sicknesses of our hearts, if we want to heal from all of mental sicknesses, if we want to heal physically, if we want to heal socially, if we want to heal in every aspect of life, Jesus came to heal us, but we must deal with the virus first. It's like my laptop. Lots of information on the laptop. Lots of information. I have 40 gigabytes of information. What happens if a virus entered my laptop? Will I be able to use it? It can corrupt many of the good files and make them quite sick. Sick enough that I cannot use them anymore. Sick enough to make me sick and to make me very distressed. I got to get an antivirus software quickly and target that virus and get it out. I cannot go to the files and try to see what I can do in the files, right? The virus is there. But I have to find the anti-fire software to go in and find that virus and get it out. Then everything else will recover. Then I can do everything else I need to do to preserve the files. And that's what Jesus did with this man. He dealt with the virus, the issue of sin. And Jesus is our sin bearer. John the Beloved said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That settles it, right?
Yes.
From the pastor all the way to the least of us here, we're all sinners.
Yes.
You accept that?
Yes.
Boy, some churches will not accept that. We're all sinners.
Oh my.
Yes, some of us may have overcome in some areas of life. Others did not. It does not make one more righteous than the other. All have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, not a righteous, not even one.
Yes.
And John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, yes, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All the files will be cleaned up, not by us, by the crimson blood of Jesus. So here it is. He told this man, listen to this carefully, your sins, my son, because you took that step and you had that faith to come against all of these odds, all the way to me, your sins are forgiven. Is that something bad?
No.
This is quite amazing. When Jesus told the man, your sins are forgiven,
wow,
many people standing became very angry. Why? Because their own sins are not forgiven. That is the only reason you become angry. The problem is inside you. And listen to how they dealt with that. Jesus told the man, your sins are forgiven. Verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes, very important people in the church, sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies, they say? Who can forgive sins but God only? Look at that. These are the people inside the church who should have dealt with their own sins and issues, Sandra, right?
Yeah. But they didn't think they were sinners.
They didn't think they were sinners. So they are deceiving who?
Themselves.
And how could this man, who is paralytic, really receive the forgiveness of sin? You know, even we human beings, when we make a mistake, even to our children or somebody else, we say what?
I'm sorry.
So why is it very abnormal to hear a man say, I forgive you? Because they never received the power of forgiveness. They never been healed. And they are active in the church. They are active in the synagogue. And you know, churches are plagued with conflicts. People fighting people in churches. Why? Even though they are talking about and celebrating the birth of Jesus. And there are conflicts in homes. Why? Because no one, those who do not look upon their own sins, can only look upon the sins of others. Those who have not been corrected yet desire to correct others. I only offer correction to those who ask, seek, and knock. It's an easy equation. And when they shut me out, well, that's God's will. I don't invest in quarrel, in argumentation, but my greatest distress comes when people insist to impose their own ways on me. I have been freed of that. I don't need to impose any blessing on anybody. So here the scribes said that Jesus was committing blasphemy for forgiving the man his sin. Verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Stop. When Jesus perceived in his spirit, what spirit is that?
The Holy Spirit.
Because he was born of
the
Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost gave him discernment.
Right.
About what is going on in their mind. And if you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you will be able to discern the struggles of others, whether it's family members, friends, or others. You will be able to discern it because the Holy Spirit is in you. He will give you understanding to what you need to understand. And he withhold the understanding if you are not ready for it. Jesus was always ready. He perceived in his spirit what they were saying about him. And he said, why reason ye the things in your heart? Wow. That was trying to unveil to them that he was indeed the Son of God, who is able to understand the deepest matters of the heart, even though they did not speak it. He's trying to convince him about who he is. Verse 9. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. He asked them, what is easier to say? You are forgiven, or you're healed, rise up, carry your bed and walk. He's trying to convict him again. Two things. Of their own sins and errors that they need to be delivered from. Secondly, he's trying to convince him that he is the Son of God, our Savior and sin bearer, who is able to forgive sin and to heal from the curse of sin. So he asked him, what's easier, to say you're forgiven or to perform a miracle? Verse 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. This is the moment of truth. The man believed and had the faith in Jesus. He acted on his faith against all odds. He received the forgiveness of sin, and the root cause of all curses was removed. And now Jesus is giving him the final test. should his faith become sight or not? He told the man who was paralytic for many years, rise up, take up your bed, and walk. At that very moment, the man could have questioned Jesus and could have said what we always said, are you sure? What does are you sure mean? I doubt. And that is a problem in our relationship with God and man. We pray, yet we doubt. We pray because we want our ways. But we doubt that God's ways are the right ways. That's the problem. When we don't hear yes, we become spoiled. Just like when we were babies. When we don't get what we want, we throw a fit. And then we lose faith. But a wise mom and dad knows what is best for us, right? They know they will give us something that will not harm us. Something that will bless us. And in time when we can handle more blessing, they said, okay, you have grown up to really bear the responsibilities for everything you have. Why not blessing you more? God has a timing for everything, and that's why he always answers yes, no, and wait. Well, he told this man, this is your moment. This is your moment of grace and your moment of fame. That's why his name was written in this Bible. So he said, rise up and walk. And immediately he rose. Did you hear that? He reacted immediately to the word of promise. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, in so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion before.
Wow. Signs of new spiritual life. Wow. Sin forgiven and new life follows. Did you experience that in your life?
Yes.
If you look back the past year, the past 5 years, the past 7 years, the past 10 years, are you a life that has been changed?
Yes.
Through the birth of the water and of the Spirit?
Oh, yes.
I say yes and I say amen.
Amen.
I say praise God Almighty. The people who once knew you then, if they see you today as a new creation in Jesus Christ, not just sins forgiven, but hearts and mind and bodies have been healed and restored, and now you are living with a much grander purpose, serving the Most High God as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, should they also say, wow, we never expected to see that. That is how we should be able to tell whether we were born again of the water and of the Spirit. Daily, we must recognize that we are sinners and we are constantly in dire need for the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit and for the great power to work on our behalf every day, signs and wonders. You know, it is quite a miracle for God to use a person like you and me to touch someone else's life. Isn't that? It's a miracle for God to use you to touch and transform and change human lives. It's a miracle because we're sinners. We're not righteous. But that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And Philippians chapter 2 says, it is God who works in you to know and to do of his good pleasure. Once again, it is not you. It is God's Spirit who worketh in you and in me to know his will. And then he grants us his power to do of his good pleasure, to touch human lives. But you got to be born again. Every day. Of that cleansing water. And through the power of the Holy Spirit. In conclusion, I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. To address the truth even about the Apostle Paul. The man who wrote these words
is a man who was also changed. He was active in the synagogue, who believed in God, but he was destroying men, women, and children who followed Jesus. Can you believe that? Someone who went to the synagogue and to the church to pray and to worship and to teach every week decided it is the right thing to do, to go and capture those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and put them in prison and kill them. Until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. At that time, his name was Saul. And when he heard the voice of Jesus for the first time in the road to Damascus, this is the moment of truth. He was knocked off his high horse. Literally. The brightness of Christ knocked him off the mule and threw him off. And because of the brightness of God's presence, he was blinded. Like big scales covered his own sight, as the Bible says. And the soldiers also. And then he heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Why are you persecuting me and rejecting my love?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" I said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecute." Now he had the opportunity to believe or to continue in his own disbelief and blindness. But he believed. And Jesus also gave him an opportunity to be forgiven and to be healed. He said, "Saul, go to Jerusalem to that man by the name of Ananias. He is my servant. He will pray for you there." Like this other guy, he had to choose to believe and to go, or not to believe and to go his own way. But I thank God, Saul at that time believed. And he went. In the same time, the Spirit of God came to the prophet Ananias in a dream and told him, "Be ready. This gentleman whom you are afraid of and the disciples are afraid of is going to come and knock at your door." And Ananias said, "This is the guy that was injurious. He is persecuting and looking for us to kill us." He said, "Don't worry. Open for him and pray for him." That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit have the power to be everywhere at all times, in heaven, on earth, at sea. Everywhere and at all times. As God was speaking through the Holy Spirit to Saul, he was speaking to Ananias and making the path straight and ready for Saul. And Saul goes and knocks at the door. And Saul tells Ananias the story. And Ananias tells him, "I know. Come in, my brother Saul. And your name is no longer Saul, but Paul." And he prayed for them. And when he prayed for them, the Bible said that the scales came off his eyes and he was able to see again. And the Bible said that he was also baptized to become a brand new creature in Christ. And that soul became the Apostle Paul.
Wow.
The Apostle Paul is the one who wrote 14 books in the New Testament. Sin forgiven, a brand new life follows. And that is really the greatest new birth that everyone should be seeking after. And that is what he told us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." Isn't that wonderful? "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Daily he forgives us. Daily he empowers us. Daily he guides us. And daily he desires to make us a blessing of healing, salvation, and reconciliation to our families, our friends, everywhere we go. He has committed that unto us. And now, then, we are ambassadors for Jesus. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Paul is saying to the churches and to the saints, we ought to be born again every day. We ought to be reconciled with God every day. And if God reconciled us with him, we ought to reconcile with others on the same terms. Because God wanted to choose us to become his ambassadors of salvation and reconciliation. And how can we be if we are not reconciled with God? You see the issue there? You don't forgive others because you are not forgiven. You don't reconcile with others because you are not reconciled with God. Simple fact, yet a very scary one. A very scary one. And finally, one of my favorite verses in the Bible that gives me release from all guilt, from all shame, from all distresses, from all fears and frustration because of my sin. That verse sets me free. For he has made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I am not righteous, but I am made righteous by the proclamation of my Savior, who have decided to forgive my sin and to make me right with him and with God. And through the Holy Spirit, to give me every gift I have for one purpose. Not just to bless my life and to confirm my own salvation, but to guide me to use every gift I have for the salvation and the blessings of others as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you received the birth of the Holy Spirit? It is my prayer every day for me, for you, for my family, and your family that we do not forfeit the blessings of the cleansing and the new birth every day. Because here is the two facts. If we do not, and if we choose not to be born again every day of the water and of the Spirit, we become ambassadors of Satan to harm ourselves and our families and loved ones. Unfortunately, that's the truth. But when we are born again every day of the water and of the Spirit, we are forgiven, preserved, protected by a shield and buckler. God placed a circle of fire around us that the adversary can never harm us. And then next week, you will learn about the great many tools and powers the Holy Spirit gives us every day to fight every battle victoriously, to prosper us, and to help us use the same spiritual gift in which I will talk about next week. The same spiritual gift to help others overcome and prosper in and through the name of Jesus Christ. In his blessed name, do I always and forever trust and pray. Amen. Amen. Let us stand together. Our God, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to this planet to show us how we can live a blessed life of faith and trust in thee through the mighty birth and growth that the Holy Spirit does in us, for us, and through us unto others. Thank you for restoring us daily unto your holy image. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for protecting us from all of the suffering that we can never endure for a moment. We give you our life, which is thine own. May your Holy Spirit alone dwell in our heart and mind and body and soul and take over our lives and our love, our will, our purpose to make us a temple of your holy presence, all the days of our life on earth, only furnished for all heavenly work of righteousness as true and faithful ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.